Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Langan, and this week we are kicking off a three-part podcast series called Secure and Safe Elections in a Pandemic and Beyond, where we will explore pre-current and post-election security strategies with thought leaders from Verizon and Forrester. For the premiere episode, we are speaking with Al Giedel, Senior Client Executive at Verizon Business Group, and Dr. Chase Cunningham, VP Principal Analyst serving security and risk professionals at Forrester, about how state and local governments can best secure their networks in advance of an election. Verizon also has deep experience in working with boards of elections around the country, including in Rhode Island, Sacramento, Dallas County, and Chicago. And Alan Chase, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's kick it off from a high level. So the security landscape certainly has changed since the last election. And let's talk about that first, and we'll go with Chase on that one.
Yeah, I mean, things in the space around the election are continuing to get more secure, which is interesting because a lot of people are still kind of freaking out about, well, what's going to happen with this election and has anyone paid attention? And, for, you know, I do a lot of work on Capitol Hill and a lot of sort of advisory consultative work. And I mean, people are talking about it. There's plans in action. I would never tell anyone that we've, you know, categorically solved the problem, but people are aware and they're starting to put things in place. So I think that the trend is in the positive for now.
All right, great. Thanks for that. And Al, anything else to add to this one?
Security has become one of the top priorities for 2020. Customers are asking us to secure their networks and to make sure that there are no vulnerabilities in their designs. Verizon is a leader in network security, so we take these solutions seriously.
Excellent, excellent. So what are some of the challenges and pain points that you think or you feel that state and local governments are facing when it comes to preparing to deliver a secure election?
Well, I mean, obviously, one of the biggest problems that any state or local government has is really resources and capital funding to make sure that they have the money available to do these, you know, types of operations. And people kind of forget when they think about the election, they usually think about, you know, the big presidential federal election. And they have this misconception that the federal government is just going to take care of all this. But it really is run, managed, controlled, and maintained by state and local organizations that are responsible for this infrastructure. It's not necessarily a very easy problem to solve. So the, you know, the intricacies and the ability to have the best solutions and the best technology to keep this election as secure as possible is the reality of the problem that they're facing.
All right. Excellent. Al, anything to share on this one?
So accuracy, speed, and security are among the top trends that we see with our customers. Consumers want election results that are accurate. They also want them in a timely fashion. Security breaches are never to compromise an election.
Great insights there. And, you know, along those lines, voters and officials are certainly concerned about the security of electronic voting. And from your perspective, what are some of the steps that are being taken to ensure integrity?
Well, I think there's an important distinction to make that a lot of people get confused when they think about online voting or electronic voting. And that's usually where there's a bigger issue. A lot of people, when they say electronic voting, they think of, you know, being at home, firing up their laptop, jumping on a website and click, 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 vote for whoever they want to vote for. And that we're not there yet. We're not to that stage where that's OK. I mean, we're having issues right now with even something as, you know, generic as mail-in votes. So we're not to the stage of saying that we have a secure sort of online system for people just to vote from home and that type of thing, which is problematic, especially in a COVID world where we're going to have issues around people being to physically attend a polling station. But in reality, there's a lot of communications controls and technologies that can be put in place at those polling stations to do electronic voting. And that's kind of where the differences in these two spaces should be noted.
Thanks, Chase. Appreciate those insights. Al, anything to add to that one?
So keeping a wireless network safe using a private wireless gateway ensures the safety of the network traffic for an election. At Verizon, the IP traffic is kept private, never enters the public ISP space. That's how we keep our votes secure.
Great, Al. Appreciate those insights. And now tell us about the anatomy of a polling site.
So voting machines are the most critical devices that need to be protected. There's cyber risk and there's physical risk, like people trying to access a device when it's in storage. Another crucial element is e-poll books, which are also critical, but not as critical as the voting machines. Risk if they fail somebody registering and voting on multiple sites. But as one customer told us, we have hard enough time getting people to vote once, let alone twice. So typically, there are three types of data networks at each site. Network for voting machine data can be wired or wireless. Network for voting registration data, e-poll books, or Network for Voter Workers, email training, et cetera.
Okay, great. And Al, also too, do you have any best practices to share with our listeners as they prepare for Election Day?
I think it's important to pick a trusted partner who can provide the following for you: a reliable, diverse connectivity, a company that understands enterprise-level routers and firewalls, understands professional and managed devices, will support you the night of the election, a trusted advisor in security. I think there needs to be transparency, so if something goes wrong, it should be honestly communicated as soon as possible.
All right, great. And tell us more about kind of plan the networks and the network side of it.
Well, I think number one, you need to stage a mock election for testing. Testing the signal strength at every site, especially at pop-up locations, is crucially important. There's critical needs for fiber and wireless throughout the network. You got to make sure you have enough bandwidth to support the added traffic on election day. You need redundancy, speed, security. A lot of times we'll actually sell a customer a burstable circuit, which will allow their growth that day of the election to actually burst outside the bandwidth that they subscribe to Verizon for.
Okay, great. Now let's shift over and talk about a very critical element, which is all about training the workers. And Al, we'd love to hear more about that.
I think it's so important to have backup training available for last-minute workers and judges. During this COVID-19 crisis, we actually had cancellations at the last minute before an election. I also think it's important to test your network before the voting actually occurs. We need to make sure that the customers understand the equipment, understand the processes, so that there's no lines or backups between the voters.
Yeah, and Georgia, I think, is a pretty good example of kind of how things can go sideways pretty quick. You know, it's a pretty solid example of a state that spent about $100 million on new electronic machines to supposedly make the election more secure and more fluid. But because of a variety of factors, including closing down a couple hundred polling locations, the COVID issue, people not showing up because of viruses and whatnot, and then misconfigurations on those machines, you had literally 6 to 8 hour waits for someone to cast a vote. And if that happens in the current sort of political climate that we're in, it can go from really, really bad to possible, you know, almost riots in a matter of hours. So this thing of making sure that people understand how to use the solutions, how to leverage the technology, and how to respond if things go, you know, sideways is an absolute necessity.
Excellent. And for our last question, how can state and local authorities fund these essential activities? And we'll go with Chase on that.
There's a variety of different vehicles that are available to state and local organizations to get the funding that they need. The federal government, as well as a lot of the larger states, have set aside pools of money to make it available to fund these types of operations. It's something that continues to be kind of lined up as we get closer to the election. Typically, what you see is, you know, the closer you are to November, the more money that suddenly miraculously becomes available. So it sounds like doom and gloom to say that, you know, it's hard for them to get funding or whatever. But in reality, you know, everyone knows how important this is. And as we get closer to that end date, there will be some more money available through a variety of different vehicles.
Okay, great. And this is a wrap. And we would like to thank you for listening to our premiere episode of the Secure and Safe Elections in a Pandemic and Beyond podcast series hosted on Government Technology Insider, where we explore pre, current, and post-election security strategies with thought leaders from Verizon and Forrester. And be sure to join us for our next episode, where Al Giedel and Dr. Chase Cunningham will address Election Day security strategies for state and local government agencies. And Al and Chase, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.